So, welcome to the Board of Question Management Automobiles of Faden-Liambotis.
Faden-Liambotis.
And please, if you want to discuss, please come here, because if you see the hall is full, so it would be nice that I don't need to run around. So if you want to discuss, please come near. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome. So we're not very few many people, so let's just talk about it for a few minutes and maybe then enjoy the key signing. So how many of you use some kind of configuration management system, Puppet, Chef, something like that? Okay. And what do you use? Let's just Puppet. Okay. Everyone uses Puppet? Anyone else using Chef or something else? Okay. So I've opened a Gobi document if you want to take notes there. CFGM and GMT. Okay. So how big is your Puppet manifest?
In my case, it's about 10, 12 machines, I'm not entirely sure, something like that. In my case, about 10 to 12 machines, I'm not entirely sure, but it's okay. That range.
Okay. From my side, I use Puppet both at work, at the Wikimedia Foundation, and as DSA. I usually manage a lot of machines. At Wikimedia, we have around 800 servers all running Puppet, and all of them managing exclusively the configuration of servers. So there's a different paradigm. Many people use Puppet to manage all aspects of the system, so it can be reinstalled and with a Puppet run everything, while others just do the basic configuration and then do manual things. And both of those sides have pros and cons.
You were saying, because I was opening the document
Fine.
Here, what we use is mainly, we have several servers that are used for doing computations on, and they are mostly used for, mostly completely configured with Puppet. There's some others that are file servers and they're just a few minor things. They're not entirely done there.
Okay. Anyone else? Want to join up?
Does that mean that the Wikimedia Foundation, it's completely stateless what's on the machine itself?
Yeah.
So you, okay, so.
So when we want to do an upgrade, we just PXC boot the machine and reprovision it with a new.
You're doing everything from
everything,
scratch.
Everything.
Okay.
So a challenge has been what to do with private data. So for example, we roll out certificates using Puppet as well. So the Git repo is public, so we also have a private repo that's being mixed into the same Puppet manifest as to be able to include private stuff.
How do you actually limit it so that each client can only retrieve what's his? Not at all.
It's a typical server setup, so we don't do local Puppet. Like many people do local Puppet, like they check out the Git tree and they Puppet apply locally instead of running a Puppet master, because the Puppet master doesn't really scale up. Anyone does here does it?
And what's your solution to this? That it doesn't scale?
Yeah, many people do Git checkouts on all of the servers and then run Puppet locally. The other thing that doesn't scale up is external resources, so basically everything that touches the database. If you don't use external resources much, then kind of scale it up. So we have a single machine at Wikimedia, for example, as a Puppet master that handles all servers. Yeah. Okay. What are the challenges that you're facing?
Well, it's a mix of several. Thing is, we have we have Debian machines and Red Hat machines and CentOS machines and several versions, and getting that into sync is the most difficult issue that I have right now. But other than that, it seems to just work for me.
Okay.
I think with the advent of other tools, I mean, Puppet was there pretty early. Do you know if there's an advantage of using Chef?
I didn't get that.
Okay, sorry. There's not only Puppet, there's also Chef.
Right.
Puppet was there pretty early, so most people, I guess, pick Puppet on the grounds of being early. Do you know if there are advantages using Chef?
I know that Chef has a syntax in Ruby, which is a good thing for stacks running on Ruby on Rails and so on. Nowadays, Puppet supports that. You can write manifests in Ruby. You just create a manifest that ends in .rb instead of .pp, and you can use a special syntax and write something in Ruby. I think Chef scales better, but I'm not really sure. I've never used it. This is what I've heard. Puppet has a very good collection of ready modules that you could reuse. I'm not doing that a lot. Many people do. They even have an apt-get-like tool where you can do Puppet module, install something, and it fetches it from the internet, executes it, which is a bit scary. I'm not sure if you're reusing existing modules or writing your own. You? Yeah, I mostly do that.
I have written a few modules myself, mainly modules that would detect which local hardware we're running, which particular server, and then depending on that, pull in the right extra thing so we could install the local hardware support packages. But other than that, I don't really use modules. We just use a plain...
Plain manifests.
Sorry?
Plain manifests. Not
it's me.
Okay.
Personally, I copied heavily from DSA's Puppet.
You what?
From DSA's Puppet repository. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's a bit annoying with modules, I think, is that if you declare a package, that in the whole chain for one machine, it may only appear once. So that requires touching the modules, introducing another layer of abstractions, so that you don't double include packages, which is a bit silly if you're setting it to the same value anyway.
There's a solution to that, but it's not very clean. You can do if not defined package, then define the package, basically.
Thank you.
But that's not very clean. But this could work on such scenarios when you have multiple things trying to do the same thing. But it gets repetitive after a while. You can do if not defined for everything, basically, so you get a whole. So
what was your expectation from the audience?
Talking about problems and learning about solutions, basically. There's not a very large audience, though. So. Do you use anything else than Puppet? Like mCollective? No? Some remote execution stuff, like Fabric, Salt, all that? Maybe you want to sit here and...
I'm going to sit next to you. So we do use shared resources so that with the database setup, it's a bit of work, but it's fairly useful once it works.
Use what?
So the distributed resources thing, mm-hmm. where resources are stored in the database, mm-hmm. It is useful in that it allows me to generate Nudges config files. So I can just say, if this server has that, then define that shared nudges thing, and automatically a nudges config file is modified and not just restored, so it's already there. And I don't have to do much.
So the Naginator stuff in Puppet, this is how it's really, really stupidly implemented.
Yeah, but it works.
Up to like 50 machines, maybe, something like that. So the problem is that instead of trying to instantiate them in a file, they're having a single file, and then every time you define one such resource, it tries to scan the whole file to find if it's there and if it isn't to add it. When you have a large file of services, for example, it does
have the ability to specify in which file to do that.
But yes,
of course you can't remove it.
Then some things don't work. I don't remember which ones.
Well, in my case,
I
understand the problem. In my case, it's not an issue because, like I said, I only have like 12 machines or something. So
there's something in the Puppet tree, not in Debian, which is called NagGen. It's a gross hack. It doesn't work as it is. I've modified it to make it work. So it's in Wikimedia's repo. It's a thing that connects to the database and dumps all the resources and then creates them on the file as a file. It's a gross hack.
Yeah, but that's what I was about to say.
But when you have like thousands of resources of services, like Puppet would take around an hour to run to complete cycle. An hour of like 100% CPU, and that is
right. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And of course, running it once wouldn't even be sufficient, right? Or do you have it so that everything will work on the first try?
So, yeah, why wouldn't it work on the first try?
I think I had it that it stored some information on the Puppet Master and only retrieved it when it comes back. I mean, it's obviously the case for SSH keys, for which I also use it, but so in the first run it stores it in the database and only in the second run it really fetches it again. But
happens.
Things like that.
Yeah, it happens
for a bit. Yeah.
So yeah, on the Nagios thing, I had it with my previous job as well, which was much smaller than Wikimedia, and it was still like couldn't scale. We had like 4,000 services, and it was taking like half an hour or something like that. Okay. Anyone want to put a subject on the table?
Do you know if the scaling issues are worked on upstream?
I think upstream is working on it. I think they're selling a product that's called Puppet Enterprise, which is supposed to scale.
Well, if you use the standard Puppet Master, then you're running some default built-in web server thing, but you can also go to some other solutions there which supposedly would scale better. I don't know how much of this is true. I've never tried it, but there's one of the options is that you run Ruby in an Apache module.
Oh yeah, Passenger.
I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, it helps a lot. Or Mongrels, but the default WebRig installation really doesn't scale more than 20 machines at most. Passenger works better, yeah. It's much more efficient, and multiple Mongrels, like I used to run like 8 Mongrels at one point, and then having Nginx load balance across them, this also kind of scales. What they're working on upstream is they're working on a replacement for the database stuff. So now they have this thing that connects with Rails to a database, and it didn't scale, so they added a queue layer, Puppet QD, to queue updates, and this didn't scale either. So now they've written an alternative to PuppetDB, which is a Java thing that uses HSQLDB or something. No, I think it's in Clojure, actually. Written in Clojure, I think.
Yeah. So it's pretty bad.
With a JVM. I don't know. So this is the biggest bottleneck, in my opinion, like the database. That's why many people don't use it.
So there's a guy on IRC saying, and also in Gobi, that there's something called Ansible, which...
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it myself. But it would be faster to get started, although it's not as mature as Puppet. That's what he wrote in Gobi, and that's what he said on IRC. I don't know. Maybe we should ask him. This is going to be weird. I don't know. I don't know about it, but it's might be useful to mention if it's indeed useful. I don't know.
Okay.
Apparently, it's based on lots of small YAML files.
Okay.
Isn't that what Puppet does as well?
Puppet uses YAML and Python and whatever. I've heard of another alternative. We're evaluating if we're going to use it. It's called Salt.
What?
Salt. S-A-L-T. Saltstack.org. So this is a mix of configuration management and remote execution. Remote execution is the concept of like being able to do DSH basically or something like that. And just push something, but it's not a state thing that you keep in configuration management. And we're planning to use it for that, for the remote execution part, because the alternative is M Collective, for example. Puppet has this thing on M Collective, and there are other similar things. Saltstack is written in Python and looks quite good, but I haven't tried it yet. And the problem is that if you try to use the configuration management capabilities, then you lose all. You have to rewrite everything basically that you have in Puppet.
Apparently, there's somebody who wants to ask questions. Asking to ask questions is not the most efficient way. There's also a URL for this Ansible thing, ansible.github.com. So,
okay. We're talking about our setups, problems, solutions, and so on. Feel free to join if you want. Okay. Anything else? Should we wait for Lucy's? Should we wait for Lucy's to ask?
For the benefit of the people who watch this later. Are there any project-wide plans to integrate configuration management into packaging? For example, I think that it would be very useful if certain packages provided OGS lenses to make it possible to automate the configuration. That could be useful, I guess.
That could be useful, yes.
I'm
not aware of any project-wide plans. I don't think there are any, but...
I don't think so either. Well, apart from what's in OGS itself, but... there is this config model thing that the other guy has been working on. What's his name again? Maybe it would be useful to see what we can...
I'm not sure if it would be better to provide them in their packages themselves or to put them into the core OGS package. That would be an interesting divide, maybe. Because OGS is currently trying to... is working, like having a single tree of multiple lenses tries to do everything. But yeah, that would be very, very useful. I think that there's no project-wide plan as far as I know, but the only way for it to happen is someone start opening bug reports.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I think it could be useful to have some organized work on that area. But on the other hand, I think with the config model stuff, there already is organized work in structured configuration file modification / parsing. So what could be useful is some Puppet way of using the config model data and then focusing more on the config model thing, because that's already going and seems to have quite some.
I haven't looked much at config model other than some blog posts I've read on Planet. If it's mature enough and it supports a lot of things, then maybe we should focus instead of integrating into Puppet. Instead of OGS. OGS is not very pleasant to work with anyway, so maybe the solution is some kind of interface between the two.
So I don't know if it's on the Gobi document, but you mentioned some kind of Puppet module repository. Is there also some kind of package manager?
So there are multiple repositories of Puppet modules. There's Puppet Forge. There's another repository that the RiseUp folks have made. Micah is involved in that as well. But I think the upstream is trying to create one. I think they're deprecating Puppet Forge, which was their own, and they'll have some Puppet module thing, let me find it, which uses a canonical location to pull stuff. Let me find it. I think the forge.puppetlab.com is the old one, I think.
So there's another question on IRC, whether Debian actually uses configuration management. The answer to that is yes. We have Puppet server. Is there something Puppet Debian org, or I'm not sure?
The Puppet tree is a mirror of the Git. Puppet tree is on Git Debian org.
Right, yeah.
Anyone can clone it, see what we're doing, and provide patches as well from the mailing
list. Right, that's what I thought.
Puppet module stuff. So there was a Puppet module tool, which was merged as a Puppet face on 2.7.12, Puppet 2.7.12. So with newer Puppet, you can do Puppet-module search, install, and so on, apparently.
Fair enough.
Puppet space module. And I'm not sure where it's find its modules, but it does. So it searches forge.puppetlab.com. Okay. I've never used it myself. I've just seen some modules and.
Possibly the question is also if it supports Debian.
If it's what?
It supports Debian and its file layout.
I would expect it to. Or. Ubuntu.
I expect various stuff.
Anything else? So, should we close here? Okay. Thanks, everyone, and thanks to the people joining us remotely. Question. Mostly scalability issues, I'd say. The question is, what are the problems faced by Debian sysadmins when using Puppet? I'd say mostly scalability issues, and the other like problem is Puppet's weird syntax, configuration syntax thing. So it takes a while for you to get into the Puppet mindset and try to create stanzas that are meant to be like what needs to be in a machine rather than what to do. So,
one more thing. There's some recommendation that you use multiple branches and for one for testing and one for production and stuff. Is this something people actually do? Or is it, I mean, I do have a branch and a virtual machine that is used for testing, but I don't usually use that. Usually it goes on the live production immediately, unless it's something really that's really changing a lot of my infrastructure. But do you actually use that, or are you?
So there's a thing called environments in Puppet.
That's what I mean.
Which has some problems in its implementation. One of them is that it doesn't work if you don't use modules. It doesn't work properly. Kind of worked, but has multiple bugs that are known by upstream, and upstream says just switch to modules already. If you use modules, then it works. I've tried it. I know that also some other people have are using it, like Russ Solberry. And I know that people do something else which is really cool, that they have some post-merge hooks that map each Git branch into an environment. So you basically can create a new branch, do some work, push it, and then have it as a different environment so you can test on one or two or whatever clients you want. And if it works, then merge into master. This is an interesting way to work, I think, because it's basically feature branches for infrastructure. We don't use the Wikimedia because Wikimedia doesn't have modules yet, unfortunately. In DSA, we have a staging branch.
Does that work well? Does that work well for DSA?
Yeah.
OK.
So you can actually select it on the client on each run?
Right. You can set Puppet D or agent, whatever you want to call it, dash dash environment,
okay,
whatever. There is some weird interaction with external resources. They're being tagged differently in the database. So there's another field that indicates the environment, but then if you are realizing external resources from somewhere else, and it's not in the proper environment, you will get nothing. So it might destroy your Nagios configuration, for example.
OK. Thank you all.